Well, let's start with a word of prayer. I know it's been a crazy week for me with a sick baby at home, so we can always pray. Let's pray. God, we thank you for being a good God, a God who we can build our foundation on. And God, I just lift up anybody who's not feeling well, who's dealing with COVID, and who is dealing with any other diseases, God. And you're a God who's a healing God. You're the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. You're a God who gives us rest. You're a God who redeems. You're a God who forgives. You're a new God. You're a God who brings health and life. We love you, God. We thank you for giving us rest today. Speak through me, God. Speak through your word today. Be present. Take the distractions out of this room, and it's in your name we pray. Everybody said, amen. So I remember I was back in seminary a few years ago, and I was in this class, and it required us to go on a weekend retreat, and the weekend retreat was coming up, and my professor, he came to me, and he said, hey, Byron, I'd love for you to ride on the retreat with me. I'll pick you up. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'll go with you. And my buddies are standing over in the corner by the door, and they're just like, and I'm like, oh, I wanted to ride with my buddies. And he's like, great, I'll pick you up at your dorm next weekend. And I'm like, oh, great. We love Dr. Tom, and Dr. Tom was awesome, but I was like, I wanted to go with my buddies. And so he picked me up at my dorm the next weekend, and I'm riding with Dr. Tom, and he's like, hey, we have to pick somebody else up. And so I'm like, okay. And so we're driving, and he goes, okay, so we stop over by the airport, and we pick this lady up, and she's our guest speaker. And she gets in the car, and she's said hi, and she said, hi, it's nice to meet you. And I said, what do you do? And she said, I'm a counselor to freedom. And I'm like, okay, what's that? And she goes, also known as an exorcist. And I'm like, oh, this will be a fun weekend. Like, you see any good movies lately? Like, I don't know. What do you say to that? And it was a crazy weekend. It was pretty weird. And here's the thing. If you're like me, you really have a hard time saying no to people in the past. Like, yes, I'll ride to camp with you. We're continuing our series, Overcoming My Struggle With. And today is Overcoming My Struggle With Boundaries. Boundaries exist with purity and with sin. But today we're going to do Overcoming My Struggle With Relationships and With Friendships. And maybe you've struggled with that. Where are my people pleasers at? Yeah, they're like, yes, I'm right here. So if you're like me, you've struggled with pleasing and you've helped a friend's friend move just because they're like, hey, my friend's moving. I've done that. And you've struggled with just like, yes, I'll help with that. And here's the problem. When we fail to say no, we fail to have good, godly, biblical boundaries. And I want to start off by saying today, it's okay to say no. It's okay to say, no, I'm not going to ride to camp with you. No, I'm not going to take your dog this weekend. No, I'm not going to give you the Netflix login for the 50th time. Just no. But here's the thing, in all reality, when we fail to have good, godly, biblical boundaries, we fail to have healthy boundaries in our lives. And we don't do certain things God wants us to do. Oftentimes, we just don't have biblical boundaries because we see boundaries as an offensive weapon that are going to hurt the people around us. But that's not the reality that God sets up boundaries for. Boundaries are a defensive tool that God sets up in our lives to promote health and to promote good relationships and to promote godly relationships. And boundaries are there for our health and to protect what's valuable to me and to my family. And that's why we have boundaries. So we're going to turn to Exodus today. And in Exodus, we see this picture, Exodus 18, where Moses' family is being brought out into the wilderness. This is after the parting of the Red Sea. And the 2 million exiles are out in the wilderness by Mount Sinai. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, is bringing Moses' family and his children out into the wilderness. So we're in Exodus 18. We're going to skip down to verse 9, and it says this. Jethro was delighted to hear about all the good things the Lord had done for Israel in rescuing them from the hand of the Egyptians. He said, "Praise be to the Lord who rescued you from the hand of the Egyptians and of Pharaoh, and who rescued the people from the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know the Lord is greater than all the other gods, for he did this to those who had treated Israel arrogantly." Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, brought a burnt offering and other sacrifices to God. And Aaron came with all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law in the presence of God. The next day Moses took his seat to serve as judge for the people, and they stood around him from morning till evening. When Moses' father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he said, "What is this you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge while all these people stand around you from morning till evening?" Moses answered him, "Because the people come to me to seek God's will. Whenever they have a dispute, it is brought to me, and I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decrees and laws." Moses' father-in-law replied, "What you are doing is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone." And so the scene that we have here is Jethro, his father-in-law, is kind of going to work with him, and he sees that Moses is acting as a judge, and he's sitting there, and all 2 million people are coming to him all day, like, my camel went on his tent, and it died, and I'm going to sue him, and blah, blah. And all of these cases are coming before Moses from sun up to sundown. And Jethro says, "You're wearing yourself out. You have no boundary between the people. Your priorities are just all jacked up, son-in-law. What are you doing? This is really, really bad. What you're doing isn't good. And your priorities are jacked up. Your boundaries are jacked up. You're wearing yourself out. Why are you doing this? This is really, really bad. And how has it come to this? How have you been doing this all day?" I remember a few years ago when I first got married, I needed to go to the dentist. And so I did what any newly married guy did or does. I called my mom. And so I said, "Mom," I think it was still in her job description. I said, "Mom, I need to go to the dentist. Can you call our dentist?" And she said, "Yeah, sure, I'll call the dentist." And so I went to the dentist right down the street, and he said, "Yeah, looks good. You have a couple of cavities, but you're fine." So I was like, great. So I come back to the office, and I'm sitting there. I go home. It was a normal day, and I go home to my new wife, and she's like, "How's your day?" I said, "Good. I went to the dentist, but besides that, it was a good day." She said, "Oh, you didn't tell me you had a dentist appointment." And I said, "Oh, yeah, my mom made it for me." And she goes, "Oh, well, does your mom want to come over here tomorrow and make dinner?" I don't really know where this is going, but I can go stand in the corner over there. When I first got married, my priorities were just like a little bit jacked up. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know, you know, where my priorities were. And here's the thing. When your priorities are messed up, your boundaries are messed up. And when your boundaries are messed up, your priorities are messed up. And your life is a little bit chaotic. I had a lady messaging me earlier this week, and she's an old family friend, and she was talking about how her priorities for a long time were just messed up. And she said, "For a long time, I was trying to people please. And it wasn't until later in life when I started to rein those in, I realized I didn't have to people please." And here's the thing. If you're trying to people please, if your priorities are messed up, you're going to be all over the place. People who are people pleasing and their priorities are all messed up, you're not going to have any boundaries in your life. And you're going to see that people who are doing this, there's going to be a list of things that come along with this. Their life is going to be chaotic. There can be eating disorders. They can be exhausted. They can be anxious. The list goes on and on. Cloud and Townsend talk about this in their book. This is a foundational book on boundaries. A lot of what we talk about today comes from this book. I don't know if you've read this. I read this during COVID. It changed my perspective on having boundaries. And they talk about setting boundaries in your relationships, in your friendships, with parents, with siblings. And so they say if you're struggling with setting boundaries, start in certain places. They say mainly you can start at work. And so they say that if you're struggling with having boundaries in your relationships, just start in one of the four places. And this, so they say start at work. And so you can look up on the screen. Start by setting boundaries at your work. Decide, will I do overtime? Will I go in on Saturdays? Will I work weekends? Maybe you're all over the place at work. Start there. Maybe you don't know. Maybe you're like, I don't really know where my boundaries are. Start there. Review your job description. What is my job? What isn't my job? Maybe you don't have a job description. It'd be good to start there. Maybe it's not your job to vacuum the office on a Thursday. Review your job description. Number three, make a list of the tasks you need to complete this month. I started doing that a long time ago. And you'll be surprised at the efficiency of you, your team, the people around you. I started writing down 10 things. This is what I'm going to do this month. You'll be surprised. just write down 10 things, 6 things you need to do this week. Knock out the 3 monsters you need to do this week and then get the ball rolling there. Number 4, make an appointment to see your boss to discuss job overload. Maybe you feel overwhelmed every week and you're not sure why. Go to your boss. If you're the boss, go to your employees, see if they're feeling overwhelmed. The thing with Moses is feeling just overwhelmed and he's not sure why. And the thing is, he never went to his boss. He never went to God to say, God, I'm feeling overwhelmed here. I'm feeling like the people are gonna kill me. And he never went to God to say, I'm feeling overloaded, feeling stressed out. And here's the thing about Moses. It was his job to lead the people and lead them well. But it wasn't his job to sit there all day and listen to every Karen go, the skaters are down at the well again. And Timmy and Tommy are throwing rocks. That wasn't his job. It was his job to lead them well. He had a job to do, but that wasn't his job just to sit there all day and listen to every little thing that was going on at the camp. And here's the thing about your boundaries. Once you start setting up godly boundaries with the people in your life, your priorities, they start to line up. And when your priorities start to get lined up, you start to protect what really matters in your life. This is the second point. Your priorities start to line up, and then you start to protect the valuable things in your life. You start to protect what matters to your family. And so for Moses, he wasn't protecting what mattered to him. He wasn't protecting what mattered to his family. And so if we go over to this next verse in Proverbs 25, 28, it says this. Like a city whose walls are broken through is a person who lacks self-control. In life, you're gonna have boundary intruders, just like Moses. So Moses has all these boundary intruders and all these people. He has 2 million of them at camp. And all these people are coming and they're taking from him and taking and taking and taking and taking. And you're gonna have people in your life that are boundary intruders that come to you and they just wanna take and take and take, and all these other people that wanna take from you and take from you and take from you. And what do? And so for my grandparents, if you look at my grandparents' life, they built African Bible colleges. Their first college they built, it got taken from them. So they built a second college. And then what happened is people started taking from them. It was petty theft at first. It was like wheelbarrows and little other things. And so it wasn't a big deal. But then it got bigger and people started taking other things. And then one night, my Uncle Paul and my other uncles ended up in the middle of the night getting shot at in their boxers by AK-47s. And so they realized, all right, we've got a big deal here. We can't keep getting shot at by AK-47s in the middle of the night. So my grandpa and my uncles decided we're gonna build a wall around the campus. If you've been there, you've seen it. It's a big brick wall, and it's all the way around the entire campus. And on top of it, my grandpa put this big electric fence on top of the wall. And it's like 3 feet high, and it's on the wall, and it goes all the way around the campus. And in 1999, my family moved there, and I remember standing, looking at the wall with my grandpa. I was a little guy, and I'm looking at the wall with my grandpa, and it had just gone up, and I'm looking at it, and I'm with my little cousins. We're all little guys, and he said, "It's pretty good, huh, boys?" And we're like, "Yeah, Grampy." And he said, "Well, you think it works, boys?" And we're like, "Yeah, Grampy." And he said, "Well, I'll give you boys 500 kwacha to see if it works." And we're like, "Yeah, Grampy." And my cousin David, who's a little bit more money hungry than the rest of us, well, he spider monkeyed right up onto the fence. And let's just say he got shot back to the gymnasium and he's never been the same since. So he's watching on the live stream right now and he'll tell you it's a true story. Here's the thing about boundary intruders. Boundary intruders will try to get something from you. They'll try to take your valuables. But if you can put up your boundary, it will protect what's valuable to you. And boundary intruders are not just after your money. They don't want your money. You know the number one valuable asset that you possess? It's your time. It's your time. Your time is your most valuable asset. You have 168 hours a week. And Jethro, he shows up and he looks at Moses and he says, Moses, you're spending your time so foolishly. Look at all that you could have done these past few months, Moses. Look at all the people you could have appointed. Look at everything you could have done here. when you're not doing anything, you're not leading well. Daryl, look at all the things you could have done these past 2 years. What are you doing? Linda, what are you doing with your time? What would Jethro say to you? How are you leading well? What are you doing with your 168 hours? Unfortunately, most people spend their time like they spend their money, and they spend it poorly. They spend it foolishly. Craig Groeschel, pastor of Life Church, the founder of the Bible app, the biggest church in the world, arguably, he says this about time. He says, every meeting can be done in 30 minutes and 1 hour at the most. He says, spend your time wisely. How are you spending your time? When we look at time in the Bible, we have to spend our time wisely because boundary intruders want to take our time. And here's the thing about boundary intruders. Boundary intruders, they're at work, they're everywhere, they're all around you, they're in your family, and they don't care about your time because a boundary intruder does this. Hey, you got 5 minutes? You're like, no, I don't have 5 minutes. I'm busy. Hey, you got a minute? No, I'm working. I don't have 5 minutes. I'm busy. So what do you practically say to a boundary intruder? I wrote down four things. These are principles that come from boundaries. This is what you can say. And I think they're up on the screen. When you say no to a boundary intruder, you can have confidence, and it says this. Number one, I care about you, and I care about your growth. So no, you can't have my time today. Number two, I'm in control of my calendar. So no, you can't have my time. Number three, I love myself not to be used and hurt. So no, you can't have my time. Number four, I am only responsible for my happiness and my mental health. So no, you can't have my time. And number five, I added a bonus. There's football on, so you can't have my time. Sorry, I'm not gonna FaceTime you right now. I think in the past for me, and I think this is true for a lot of us, when someone's like, hey, you got 5 minutes? I feel guilty and I feel bad. It's like, yeah, I have 5 minutes. And then it's 60, 70, 80 minutes, 2 hours. And I feel bad. But here's the thing, and Town and Clouds and say this. They're the one with the boundary problem. They're the one with the character problem. It's not you. When you say, no, I don't have 5 minutes, and they get mad at you, they're the one with the boundary problem. That's on them. So when you start to promote healthy boundaries and when you start to clearly say no, when you start to promote healthy boundaries, what you do, and this is the third point, you're starting to promote a healthy relationship. Maybe you've never promoted a healthy boundary. Maybe it's with a parent. Maybe it can be spouses. It can be siblings. It can be anybody, a boyfriend, girlfriend, anybody. You're starting to promote a healthy relationship. Until you promote healthy boundaries, you can't promote a healthy relationship. A lot of times what we do is we leave things gray, and we can't leave gray areas. If we go back to the text in Exodus with Moses, it says this. Exodus 18, verse 17. Moses' father-in-law replied, "What you are doing is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy. You can't handle it alone." Matthew 5, 37. All you need to say is a simple yes or no. Anything beyond this, it comes from the evil one. Just say a yes or no. Boundaries need to be black and white. Boundaries need to be very clear for people. I've learned that. I've learned that the hard way. If boundaries aren't black and white, boundaries get very gray and very messy, and people will take advantage of you. People will take advantage of a situation, and they just will. That's all there is to it. When Nate knew I was talking about boundaries, Pastor Nate, and we share an office, and he said, "Byron, you've got to share this example." So 7 years ago, we started on staff, and the older pastors on staff were just going through a bunch of stuff, and they said, okay, now that you're pastors, there's certain things you can do and can't do, and one of those is you can't ride in a car with a female alone. And we don't care if you're going to Jamba Juice. We don't care if you're running an errand to Target. We don't care if you're coming in an Uber from the airport. We don't care what it is. There's no excuses. And we were like, okay, capiche? And we're like, capiche. And it's just been that simple. And so they're like, you never break it, and we're going to hold you to it. And I think that principle has been so good. It's been healthy. It was black and white. They made it super clear. And I think at the time, we thought as young guys, it's a little weird. But going forward, it was very clear. It was healthy for us. It was healthy for our now spouses. And I was thinking about it today. I was thinking a lot of people need to hear that. A lot of people may be watching online. A lot of people have maybe gone into gray areas. Maybe you're getting coffee with someone you shouldn't be. Maybe getting lunch with a coworker and it just seems innocent, but it's not. And maybe tell that person, I can't get coffee anymore, or we can't get lunch anymore because it's a gray area. We can't share a car anymore, and spend that money on a rental. Because a lot of times what happens is we confuse things and we make things confusing for people. And then what happens is a relationship starts to turn unhealthy. And we start to promote unhealthy boundaries instead of really unhealthy or instead of really healthy relationships. If you've had little kids, I have a toddler now, you have really healthy physical boundaries in the house. You have baby gates everywhere. And they know where they can go and where they can't go. I can't go to the stairs, even though I'm going to keep trying. And you show them where they can go and where they can't go. I'll close with this. So if you were to tell your little one, like, hey, tonight, what I want you to do, I want you to go and I want you to guard Cardinal Stadium. And your mom and I are going to drop you off. And here's a flashlight, okay? And you're going to guard the Cardinal Stadium. They might be like, what? What do you mean? And we'll be back in a couple hours. They'd be like, okay. And they might like run around and be like, wait, did he say to guard the parking lot? Did he say to guard Zach Ertz? Did he say to guard the 50? He said to guard the snack bar. Wait, he said to guard the upper deck? I don't know. They'd be so confused. They wouldn't know. But if you said, buddy, I need you to go, and I need you to guard seats 111 and 112 and 113, okay, and protect it. And your mom and I are going to go park the car, and we'll be right back. They would say, okay, I got it. Okay, and we'll be right back. They would go, and they would sit there, hopefully. And they would know what to fight for. And they would know what their boundary is. And they would know what territory is there. They would know what dirt bags to fight off. They would know where to sit. They would know what their boundary is. And they would know what their boundary isn't. They would know where to spend their time. They would know where not to spend their time. And my challenge to all of you as we go into the rest of this school year is this. Let's learn what our boundaries are. Let's really define what are our boundaries for our families this year. What are my priorities? What aren't my priorities? Who's been stealing my time? Who are my time thieves? Who's been a boundary intruder in my life that I need to just say, I'm done letting you steal my time? And really pray, God, please send me a Jethro father-in-law, a wise person, to help me set some godly boundaries in my life for me and my family this school year. Let's go ahead and pray. God, we thank you for being a God who sets boundaries for us, a God who's forever been a God of boundaries, a God of yes and a God of no. God, we love you. We thank you for being a God who says that's too much. God, we pray all these things in your name. Amen.